say this morning, because those of you who know, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I get a little tap on my shoulder. It's time to get up. So he spoke to me this morning. As a matter of fact, I don't even go for nothing. I don't even try to attempt to do nothing during the week because it's a waste of my time. Amen. But when God moves me and he talks to me and tells me what it is, I am receptive to whatever it is that he has. Amen. So this morning, I want you to know that art has the power in its composition to symbolize something deeper, moral and spiritual. It has meanings such as life and death and love and virtue and justice when we look at pictures, when we hear art. Amen? Historically, art is used to illustrate complex ideas and concepts in ways that are easily digestible. When you look at art, you can see things and you can read things that a person doesn't even have to say because it is displayed in that picture. Amen? So we got a picture this morning. I'm hoping it can get up on the screen for you to look at. Won't work? Okay. So I had a picture that I wanted shown on the screen, and it was a picture of a woman, and she had a napkin tied around her head, and the picture was called Hope. Now, in this picture, this woman was leaning against a harp, and this harp only had one string. But when you looked at the picture, you could see sadness, you could see desolation, you could see depression. You could see gloominess, and you could see all of this because of the way that the painter painted this picture. Now, Jeremiah Wright, who used to be the pastor of Barack Obama, heard a message about this picture from a minister in Richmond, Virginia. And the minister titled his message, "The Audacity to Hope." So when Barack Obama heard the message, he wrote a book called The Audacity of Hope. Amen? Now that word audacity means willing to take bold risk. Amen? And it comes from a Latin word, audacious, which means boldness. So I thought about that and I said, we as Christians have to have the audacity of hope. And I said, well, where does it say that we have to have the audacity of hope? In other words, where do we have to have the boldness of hope? And I found the scripture in Romans 4, 16 to 21. And it reads like this: therefore, it is of faith that it may be by grace to the end the promise might be assured to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but also to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and call it those things which can be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving God the glory. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Now, Abraham is called the friend of God. How wonderful it is to be called a friend of God. Amen? But Abraham is a friend of God because of his faith and trust in God. Now, we all know about some of the events that happened in Abraham's life. Amen? And we can measure some of our own faith by comparing our own response to God with the responses that Abraham gave. You see, we all have decisions to make. When God speaks to us, do we listen? Do we trust and obey? Or do we waver in unbelief? Amen? Consider for a moment Paul's discussion of Abraham's faith, which is in Romans 16 to 25, which we just read. You see, God intended to bless the whole world through a descendant of Abraham. God wrote and God told Abraham that I'm going to bless the whole world through you, through one of your descendants. Amen? That's something that Abraham had to believe because God said it. But this promise and this inheritance that God promised, it could not be delivered through the law. It had to be delivered by grace. Therefore, it is of faith that this might be by grace. That is what the scripture says. Amen? So when we get a reward, it is through grace that we get it. So what I'm saying to you right now, there is no law that says that God owes you anything. But through grace, a gift of God, he gives you things. The scripture said, for if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If we can do things by works, we don't need grace. And if we get things by works, there is no more grace. But if it be of works, then there is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. That's Romans 11 and 6. Amen? So as a reward, we can only be restored through grace. But grace can only be conferred by faith. In other words, if you don't have faith, you don't have grace. So people can run around saying it was God's grace and mercy. Yeah, it was his grace and mercy. But what about your faith? Paul declared that those who have obtained the righteousness of God by faith are justified freely by his grace. So in other words, when God blesses you through his grace, you're justified in whatever he does. In other words, you don't have to explain it to nobody. So when God bless you with a house through his grace, you don't have to explain it to nobody. Because the enemy in the world, they're going to think that you did something else to get it. They're going to want to know what it is that you did. But it is through grace that God has gifted you with something. Amen? The scripture says, to the end that promise might be sure to all the need. You see, God promised some things to Abraham. And Abraham, without hesitation, do you hear that word? Without hesitation, believed everything that God said. Do you believe this morning everything that God says to you? Come on, church. Do you believe the things that God says to you? Because in that belief, you're going to get the grace that God wants to give you. You want to get the gifts that God wants to give you? Have faith. To Abraham, who is the father of us all. That is double-edged, because not only is Abraham the father of us all, but physically, but he's also the spiritual father of us all. So Abraham became the father to both Jew and Gentile. Amen? And it's only by his faith that he's the father to anybody. You see, Abraham didn't have any children, So how could he be the father to anybody? How could he be the father to somebody physically? How could he be the father to somebody spiritually? But God said it, and he believed it. We're going through some things right now, and the enemy wants to put you off track, but God is leading you somewhere else. Amen? Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe it? It might be physically you're looking at something, but God wants to do something spiritually. Amen? I say that because when God healed the leper, he healed them spiritually. The lame man, he healed them spiritually before he was healed physically. If you got things going on in your life, get healed spiritually, and then the physical will take care of itself. Because if you believe that God is going to do something for you, whether it's spiritual or physical, it shall be done. Verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. In other words, God called him a father, although he wasn't. God might be calling you something right now, although you're not. God could be calling you a pastor, although you're not right now. God could be calling you a missionary, although you are not right now. Because when God speaks, he tells the truth. And time has nothing to do with it. Because he's outside of time, designating what he wants you to be. So you can look at some of our young people. You can look at some people that you think ain't got a chance. But God is calling them to do something. And it has nothing to do with what you think. It has nothing to do with your timetable. It has nothing to do with your opinion. The scripture said he was calling Abraham a father, although he wasn't. He said he quickened the dead. He's talking about Abraham's body. He's almost 100. Who is 100 years old that can produce a seed? But God quickened the body. Which woman you know can have a baby at 90 years old? Surely not Sarah, but God quickened the dead body. He called them parents before they even were. Don't let somebody call you something outside your name. When God designates you to be somebody or something, it don't make a difference what somebody else thinks. Because when God quickens your spirit, when he pours out his spirit over you, when you fall out in his grace and mercy, then God is ready for you to do what he's designated you to do. I have to remind myself and other people all the time. I ain't always been a pastor. But when God quickened my spirit, when God was ready for such a time as this, he called me to do what he wanted me to do. He did it to me, he'll do it to you. The Bible says, and it alludes to the fact that God willed it and it will be done. Hallelujah. He willed that Abraham's body was quickened and Sarah's body was quickened and it was done. This means that faith in God's power will arise the dead. Hallelujah. Faith in God and his power will make the dead rise up, whether it's physically or spiritually. Amen? Because sometimes you come to church, your spirit is dead. But when the spirit hits you, you'll rise up and start praising the Lord. It says that he calleth those things which be not as though they were. Amen? This does not say that God calls into existence things that exist not. He calls into existence things that are. Because it doesn't exist to us, it don't mean that it don't exist to him. Hallelujah. Do you get that? Because everything exists to him. Whatever he say, it exists. You might not believe it. It might not exist in your mind, in your world, or wherever you are at. But when God calls something into existence, it already exists because he already made everything. There's nothing else that has to be made. You're not making, nobody's making anything. They're using stuff that's in existence already. So when he called something into existence, he's not doing nothing new. He might be doing something new in you. But he ain't doing nothing new. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, I have made thee. When God called Abraham our father, he's telling him right then that he has made him. Amen? But you want to know something? This is what I'm getting at. Abraham had the audacity of hope because he had the faith. The audacity, remember, that word means boldness. He had the boldness of hope. I'm talking to somebody this morning because you got to have the boldness of hope because the world is looking at you. Somebody's looking at you, and they're calling you a fool for what it is that you believe. They're calling you a fool for what it is you're getting ready to do, what God has called you to do. But you got to have the audacity of hope. And you can't have hope unless you have faith. Verse 18. I could preach a whole sermon or two on this verse 13. It says here, it says, who against hope believed in hope? Against hope, he believed in hope. That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Do you understand that that's an oxymoron? To believe in hope when there was no hope? To believe in hope when there is no hope? To believe in something when everything else is saying this can't possibly happen. He had the audacity to hope when there was no hope. Somebody this morning has got to have the audacity to believe in hope when they're saying there is no hope. Because God told Abraham what he said to him, God is speaking to somebody's heart this morning, and you're saying, no, that's not possible. It can't possibly be physically, spiritually, but God is saying, have the audacity of hope this morning. Amen? Abraham, hope against hope. There's a word that's in the Bible that they use frequently. It's called nonetheless. Even though they said that there's no hope in it, nonetheless, Abraham had hope. There's something going on in the lives of people this morning, but nonetheless, you gotta have faith. Nonetheless, you gotta have hope. Nonetheless, you gotta have a confession to God that, Lord, I believe what you said. I believe in your promises. God promised it, and it's done. It's already in existence. Abraham had that faith. Abraham had that hope. Nonetheless, what everybody else said. Nonetheless, what everybody else believed. Amen? Beyond the hope, Abraham believed God anyway. Amen? The thing that was utterly beyond all that could be expected, the natural principles. Something's going on in our lives today. Something natural, but you have to believe in the supernatural. I got a supernatural God. I got a supernatural Lord. I got somebody who does above and beyond the natural instinct of man. You can't tell the master, the servant can't tell the master what he can and can't do. You can't tell the creator what he can and can't create. I got a supernatural God. Somebody today, you need to confess that God is supernatural. Let him work in your life today. Let him tear down some chains, break some strongholds going on in your life. You got to have a supernatural God. When man tells you something, you got to say, but nonetheless, my God says he's able. Nonetheless, whatever you say, my God is going to do it for me. Nonetheless, my children will be saved. Nonetheless, my children will get off drugs. Nonetheless, my children are going to get healed. Nonetheless, my children are going to get out of jail. Nonetheless, my children shall have a job. Nonetheless, I shall have a house. Nonetheless, I shall have a job. Nonetheless, my marriage shall work. Nonetheless. Hallelujah. The scripture says now in verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. It says he didn't even think about his circumstance. He didn't look at his own body because God promised it. Some of us are walking around with a little hip hop. Don't even think about your body. God promised healing, it's going to be healed. God promised deliverance, you're going to be delivered. God's promises are yes and amen. We're so busy looking around at all the circumstances and all the situations, but God is saying, don't look, nevertheless have faith. Bible tells me that faith is the substance of things. Do you need to see it? It is the substance. That means there's something there. You can feel it. You might not be able to see it, but you can feel it because faith is the substance of things hoped for but not seen. The Bible says he considered not his own body. Somebody's going to be shouting. The enemy's going to say, oh, your leg hurt, but somebody's going to be shouting because they're not going to consider the body. They're going to consider the substance of the spirit. Saints, there's always difficulties. There's always obstacles in the way of our faith. But you can't consider it. You have to move it out the way. You got to step over. You got to crush the enemy's head. Don't consider the enemy. Abraham did not consider his body. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. He didn't consider his partner's body. They said, we're two together, supposed to be one. He wasn't saying, well, God's going to take care of me and leave my wife alone. He considered not only his body, he didn't consider his wife's body. He said, when the Lord blesses me, he's going to bless us. Maybe somebody's not getting blessed because you're too busy trying to get blessed yourself and don't worry about your part. You want to say, I could do all bad by myself. Well, you know what? If you got a partner, you ain't going to do good unless you do good together. I don't know where that came from, but I tell you, hey, you need to take it. That ain't part of the script. It's in the message. All of this stuff that we make up, we need to leave it alone. You know what? I keep saying, if it ain't in that book, you better reread it. You better redo it. You know, sometimes people redo your vows. You need to redo the book. Verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God. That he staggered not. This means that he didn't doubt it, and he didn't hesitate. He didn't doubt, or he didn't hesitate. It said he staggered not. Hallelujah. Sometimes God tells us something, and he wants us to do it, and we stagger. We hesitate. We say, is this really God speaking to us? Is it really him? Does he really want us to do it? Oh, give me a sign. He's speaking to you. That's sign enough. He placed you in a position to succeed. It's sign enough. He made a path for you to go and do what he has designated you to do. That's sign enough. Do you need a house to fall on you? It said he staggered not. You know, when you're staggered, you can't walk straight. Right? So in order to walk straight with the Lord, you can stagger not. You can't stagger. You can't doubt. You can't hesitate. Let me explain something to you. And it don't make a difference what part of life you're in, if you're in sports or if you're just walking the street. You know? In sports, if somebody, you're playing an opponent and they see a little fear in your eyes, a little bit of hesitation, they're going to go after you. You say, Pastor, you always talk about sports. But let me tell you something about life. You're walking down the block and you just hee-hawing and somebody's going to rob you, or they're thinking about robbing you, and they see a little bit of fear in your eyes, they're going to rob you. So when the enemy looks at you and he puts you in a situation and he sees a little fear in your eyes, he's going to attack you. That's why you need to put on the full armor of God. Because he's looking to see who can devour. You're walking around not having faith. You're walking around doubting. You're walking around staggering. Hallelujah. And he's going after you. And you wonder why. God has already said in the scripture, touch not my anointed. You're supposed to be anointed, but you're walking around staggering, doubting, hesitating. When God has already placed a hand on you, he's already put angels around you to protect you. You already put on the full armor of God. What are you hesitating for? You should walk in the battle boldly. Say, here I am, devil. You can't defeat me today. Hallelujah. It says that he staggered not. He believed in the promises of God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, everybody, they always talk about these things that Abraham did. But are you like Abraham? Do you have the faith of Abraham? Abraham is the father of generations and generations. He's your father. Do you have the genes? Do you have the DNA of Abraham in you? Do the things that your father did, Abraham, the father of the physical generations here on this earth, because your spiritual father, he's already done things for you. If you got his DNA in you, there's nothing that can be done to you. Hallelujah, because he shed his blood. And in shedding of that blood, he conquered everything. He conquered death. He'll conquer the little things the enemy want to do to you. Hallelujah. It says, but he was strong in the faith. That means, you see, we can't just read the Bible and just read it and just leave it alone. It says, but he was strong in the faith. If you can be strong in the faith, that means you could be weak in the faith. There's different degrees of faith. Hallelujah. What degree are you on? That calls for self-evaluation. But what degree are you on? When God says do it, what degree are you on? Are you 100%? Are you 50%? Are you at 33, 67? Or 68 was a nice temperature. It ain't too hot and it ain't too cool. What degree are you on for the Lord? Hallelujah. Abraham was not weak in the faith. And the scripture said, giving glory to God. Well, how did he give glory to God? He believed that God was going to do what he promised. Nothing more and nothing less. How do we give God the glory? By believing that God is going to do what he promised to do. Nothing more and nothing less. Amen. When he told the devil, consider my servant Job, he says, you can put him through everything, but you can't have his soul. And the devil did everything that he could do. Nothing more, but nothing less. He said, you can't have his soul. You could do everything else, but you can't have his soul. You can't take him from me. We go through some things in life, you know. And the devil do some things. But you know what? When you got Christ in your life, that devil can't have your soul. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's nothing more than we applaud everything that Abraham does. And I keep talking about Abraham and the things that he does. But I keep telling you, you know what? He was strong in his faith. Would you take your son and lay him down on the altar to kill him? Because God said to do it. He was strong in his faith. His son said, hey, Pop. What? He was willing until he got on the altar. It's like, hey, Pop. Hey, Dad. Where's the lamb? They said he was like this. He was like this. But right before that, he said, the Lord, Jehovah Jireh, will provide. And then he went like this. And then there was a lamb in the thicket right there. The Lord did provide. There's some situations going on in our lives right now. And you're going to be right there at the altar. You're going to be giving something up. And you're going to be like that. And the Lord is going to provide. He just want to know that you're obedient. He just want to know where your faith is. No faith, no deliverance. No faith, no grace. Without thinking about the moment, he yielded to a divine authority. Don't you know Jesus Christ is a divine authority? Divine. Ain't nothing higher. Ain't nothing grander. When he gives the word, that's the word. You got to do it. No cross, no crown. Hallelujah. We got a cross to bear, but we're not going to get a crown unless we can bear that cross. And in the course of bearing that cross, there's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be people double, thinking about what you're doing and you know, think, they're going to say, you must be out of your mind. They're going to be Monday morning quarterbacks. Hallelujah. They're going to be thinking about, well, I would have did it this way. But you got to let God. God is in control of each and every. He's in control of our lives. It's amazing that, you know what, he could put a finger on each person in here. A finger of each person in here. Know the heads of the hairs on each person's heads that's in here. He's amazing. That's amazing right there itself. But it's amazing that he can hear your prayers. He knows the things that you want. He knows the things that you need. He knows your children. He knows your grandchildren, your great-great-great-grandchildren. He knows all of those things. And you know what? And he knows their hairs on their heads as well. Oh, my God. He's such a great God. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 22, it says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able. Being fully persuaded. He believed everything that he was fully promised. And then the scripture said, and then he was able to perform. And he ain't talking about Abraham now. He's talking about the grace of God. That unless you fully believe in what it is that you're told, God ain't fully able to do it. You half believing God is going to do something in your life. God's not going to do it. Because he needs your faith. Hallelujah. It says he was able to perform that. You know God can perform anything that he wants to. But he wants something from you. He don't ask you for a lot. But he needs you to believe, to have the faith, the audacity of hope that God is going to do what everybody else says is impossible. And then watch him work. And then the scripture said it was not written for Abraham's sake alone. It wasn't written for Abraham. It wasn't written for Sarah. But it was written for me and it was written for you. Hallelujah. Now this happened in the Old Testament. This is Paul in the New Testament talking about Abraham's faith and what it took and how he was able to overcome the promises that God gave him, the faith that he had, the miracles that happened in Abraham's life was because of his faith. If you are a child of God, and you have no miracles happening in your life. If you tell me that God is not doing what he said he's going to do, if you're telling me that he's not providing, how deep is your love? How deep is your faith? God wants us to be faithful. Amen. It says in verse 24, but for us also to whom he shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. That's why when you get saved, we ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross and on the third day he rose from the dead? Because if you can believe that and you can accept that, then you got a chance. Amen? But if you can't believe that, you don't have a chance. Hallelujah. The scripture is saying it right there. And the person who wrote it, of all people, Paul. Paul, the original persecutor. Paul. The original going around seeing all the Christians that he could slay, all the ones he can point out to the government, all of them. You see, this man is an example of what God can do, regardless of what the world says. Because if you lived in that time and you saw Paul going around persecuting these Christians, you would have never thought that Paul would become an apostle. You would never think that Paul would write 2/3 of the New Testament. You would never think that Paul would be witnessing for Jesus. You would never think that Paul would be put in jail for the sake of Jesus Christ. So we can't designate, we can't opinionate who God chooses and who he uses. It says, if we can understand and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was raised from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, who was delivered. When you deliver something, that means that somebody brings it to you. Jesus Christ was delivered unto those sinners. Jesus Christ was delivered unto the Jews. He didn't have to go, but he put himself up as the lamb, and he was delivered. God delivered him. Because if he didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't happen. When God does something in your life and he delivers you, regardless of what people want to happen, it's going to happen. You see, some of us have illnesses and we got to get delivered out of it. And when God wants to deliver you, you're delivered. Some of us have other kind of diseases that people say, a man says, you can never ever be delivered from this. You're going to have it all your life. But when God is able and he wants to deliver, he will deliver. It says in the Bible that he delivered Jesus up for crucifixion. He delivered Jesus up to be the Lamb. He delivered him up not for their sake, but for our sake as well. Amen? So the Lamb of God, the one who conquered death, was delivered up for you. So no matter what it is that you go through, no matter what your offenses are, you can be delivered. You can be delivered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ, which was the greatest of all crimes. Hallelujah. Don't you know that? That was the greatest of all crimes. You're talking about somebody being set up? He was set up from the beginning. Hallelujah. Trials that were illegal. Times and dates that go on in the 3 days that of that week, that Thursday night, the Friday night. All of those trials that he went through, they were illegal. There's some things and people that have gone through some things, some of our children, some of us, we're going through some things and they were illegal. But see, you're here today. And the enemy knew you would be here. The enemy knew you knew the Lord. The enemy knew that at some point in time, Jesus and somebody was going to touch you. And he was scared of the outcome. And he set you up. Some of us right now, we're in the process of being set up. Hallelujah. See, when you set up, you don't even know you're being set up. You can't start talking about, oh, I'm going to do this and do that, because you don't even know you're being set up. But when you put on the full armor of God, no matter what the makeup, the setup, God is able to take you out of there. Amen? We sing that song today about I need you, you need me, we all God, part of God's family. I pray for you, you pray for me. Let me tell you something, when the church prays, when the church prays, you see Peter, Paul and Silas was in jail. And when they started praying, and then forget Jericho, the walls of the jails came tumbling down. Hallelujah. When they illegally put Peter in prison, and when the saints were hidden away in their houses and they started praying, the angel of the Lord came and set Peter loose. But they wasn't ready for that. You see, when God does something, you got to be ready. He was knocking on the window. They wouldn't even open the door. Because who's that? God is going to knock on the door, summon you. Something's going to be happening. Don't say who's that. Be ready. Church, be ready. Something you're going through right now, be ready. Put on that audacity of hope, that audacity of faith, because God is able to deliver exceedingly, abundantly, above all things that we could ever ask or think. Let us stand this morning. Hallelujah.